Thank you. All right. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 128. Should be a familiar song. Psalm 128, if I can get there. You know, probably not going to say a whole lot of things that you folks don't already know, but we're going to reinforce some things that we ought to be doing, and which will help our homes. I do appreciate your pastor and his wife and family very, very much. He's one of the very, very best friends I have in the ministry, if not the best friend. And I really appreciate him very much. And like he said, we do have a lot of things in common. Our rings look alike. Yesterday, my phone rang, and he kept answering his. We have the same ringtone. His first granddaughter was born on my birthday, Ella. My last granddaughter, Ellie, was born on his birthday. I mean, it just keeps getting eerier and eerier. But nevertheless, and we also have churches very similar. And I love you folks, and I love being here, and it's really good to reacquaint friendships of years. And it's precious. And thank you for allowing me to come. And I'm glad the Lord brought this thing together. I do want to encourage you to try to be here at every service, as much as you can. Every service will build on itself. There will be some things that you might think, well, this doesn't really apply to me, when in reality, it all applies to all of us. It really does. Sitting here this morning are potential moms and dads, or moms and dads, and grandparents, you know. The people that are not married eventually probably will be married, and they will probably be parents. And it'd be nice for them to have some knowledge on some areas that will help them to establish a Christian home. You know, years ago, we decided we don't do weddings. We help establish Christian homes. And if they don't want to establish a Christian home, we're not interested in putting two lives together. And so there'll be young folks in here that might think at times that this doesn't apply to them, but it does, because they have a future to look forward to if the Lord tarries. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. I like those first two verses. Blessed, happy. Happy is everyone. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. You know, we are a blessed people. We are so blessed. And if you don't think that we're blessed, even lost folks in America are blessed. Just take a trip around the world and see places. Go places. And we are a blessed people. But the Lord said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And if you have the right attitude toward God, toward the Lord, there's a blessing to be had. And then in verse 2 it says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Aren't you glad that God has given you a job and an income so that you can provide for your family? And every time we're able to pay all the bills and there might be a little left over, we ought to be just thankful and happy that God made it happen. See, if we didn't have the help, we couldn't do the job. But God gave us help to do the job, and God gave us a job. There are a lot of people without jobs, but we have a job, and we're able to make some money, and God's blessed. And so we ought to be happy that we're able to provide for our families. And then in verse 3 it says, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall be blessed out of Zion, bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. We see here three things. We see the wife, we see thy children, and we see thy children's children. How much better can it get than all that? Where the children are round about the table and there's a holy, happy home. That's what it's all about. Folks, you can fail miserably in business and recover. You can fail in athletics and recover. You can fail in academics and recover. But you must not fail in the home, because there are consequences. There could be eternal consequences. If you don't raise your family in the Lord in the light of God's word now, I mean, just do the very best you can for God's glory. If you don't do that, it might have some eternal consequences. If you're half in, half out, half up, half down, half here, half there, your children are going to be less than what you are. See, what parents do in moderation, children do in excess. So if you moderately miss and moderately live for God, the children are going to be less than that. That's the example that they have. And you know that every generation that comes on the scene generally gets worse than the previous one. And how could that be that our children not even know the Lord? How could it be that our grandchildren may not be saved? And there be eternal consequences as a result of not putting Christ first and foremost in our life. This morning I'm going to be speaking on the subject of modern homes influenced by television versus traditional homes influenced by Judeo-Christian values, which is the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, pray that you'll help me to say what needs to be said. Give us open hearts and ears. And Lord, help me not to say more than I should, less than I should. But Father, help me to be ever so sensitive to the promptings and the directions of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to grasp the truth of what we're trying to say. Lord, that you may be honored in the home and our children and family may grow up honoring you in the best way possible. Now I pray, Father, you'll help the hearer, dear Lord. It'd be so tempting to sit down and get comfortable and start thinking about the events of tomorrow or tonight or yesterday or anything but what is being said. And so I ask you, Father, to be with the hearer. Help us, Lord, to train our ear to listen and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts as the Word of God is delivered. Help us to embrace the truth and rejoice in the Word of God. I pray that you'll bless as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, the psalmist describes a happy home with a happy husband, a fruitful wife, and children around the table and grandchildren. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, I'm 60 years old, fixing to turn 61 here in less than 2 weeks. And in my short life, and by the way, for some of you may think, oh, that's a long time. Well, not for a 61-year-old. It's just a short life. It's a hop, skip, and jump, and there you are. One day you're looking in the mirror and you see wrinkles. And you start looking like your grandpa almost. I mean, you just see things that you never thought you would see in yourself, and there it is. I mean, you just kind of wake up one day, and there it is. Now, I have lived long enough to remember on television, there used to be shows like Father Knows Best. Anybody remember that one? Father Knows Best. And today, of course, it went from Father Knows Best to The Simpsons. Anybody know that one? That's a tough one. There is a difference between modern homes and traditional homes. Very much a difference. Modern homes are built upon television and immoral ideas and influences that they get through television. While traditional homes are influenced by the Holy Scriptures, there is a difference. There was a time that people weren't even saved, had more biblical values, even though they weren't saved way back yonder than they do today. You'll see saved people today that have less biblical values than lost people about 50 years ago or 100 years ago. I mean, society was influenced by Judeo-Christian principles. And whether they trusted in Christ or not, they were still guided by some moral values that they got from Christian Judeo principles. And today, it's a different day. Today, with modern times, we're influenced by what I call television. And I think that a wise parent at a young age would highly control that thing. Highly control that thing. I used to really preach hard and heavy against television until the internet came on the scene. You can't even touch how terrible the television is versus the internet. They're clicks away from seeing things that they shouldn't see and hearing things they shouldn't hear and participating in things they shouldn't participate in. And I think that wise parents, would realize the severity of that, the importance of controlling those things with their children and making sure that they don't see and hear and do things that they shouldn't accordingly. But that is today's home. That is the modern home today. Hollywood has kind of set the standard for the world. Their standard can be found in cesspools. Their standards can be found at the sewage plant. The modern home has set her standards by what she sees on television. And we have to be very, very aware of that so that we can steer our children clear of that. That's why I say controls would be a great thing with both internet and television. Now, for my wife and I, we just kicked the television out for about 15 years, is what we did. And we controlled everything through videos, things of that sort. But we did not, our children were not raised on television, and we were thankful for that. And they were, yes, they were naive to some degree, and that's okay, that's fine. I think the child of God ought to be naive to some sins in society. They would come home, and they would say, what is this and what is that? You know, a neighborhood kid said something to my son one day, said something about his parents getting a divorce. He came home and said, Daddy, what's divorce? So we explained to him what divorce was. But it was something that is very common on television, but it was very remote to the ears of my children because they were not exposed to those things. And I think that wise parents will choose what their kids are exposed to. We're going to be held accountable for the exposure that our kids get, the crowd that they keep, the things that you allow to come into your home that would influence your children. And for the modern home, that's television and internet. Now, the modern home is influenced by television and internet. The modern home are what we call modern. Modern means up to date. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not walk therein. Now, Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. There's nothing wrong with the old paths. The old paths had a safer society. The old paths had nicer homes. The old paths had children that were obedient and well-behaved and polite. Today, it's very difficult to get kids to be able to communicate. They know how to do this, and they know how to use their internet language. Talk to you later. I don't know whether LOL is lots of laughs or lots of love or laugh out loud. I don't know what that means. But I get that occasionally, and I'm trying to figure out in context what that means. But they'll go through their language, and they'll not be able to communicate simply because that's how they communicate. I think our kids need to learn how to communicate. I think having people skills will be a part of them growing up and being a productive citizen by having communication skills. But I think too much of all that kind of stuff will take some of that away. I think we need to be careful about those things. Modern homes are modern, and there's nothing wrong with the old past. We need to stand up and stand fast for the old past. Modern homes have no daddies to guide them and influence their families. That's the day and age that we live in. I feel sorry for some of our young folks that have grown up in this day and age, and they don't know what it is to have a real daddy and a real mama. I mean, a biological daddy and a biological mama. A real daddy and a real mama. And then have a real home setting where they come in, they give an account of themselves to their mama. Mamas know how to ask all kinds of questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. I mean, they just ask all kinds of questions. How did it go? What went on today? And so forth and so on. And there's communication between mom and the child. And then there's a real supper, a sit-down supper, where they come to the table and the family comes to the table and they bow their heads and they pray and thank the Lord for the food. And communication and joy and fellowship evolves around sitting around that table and enjoying each other. You know, that's not today. Nowadays, it's TV trays if they even show up at home. Sitting before a TV, soaking in some more of that television stuff. And so that explains the modern-day home. They have no daddies to guide them. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, for I know him, God talking about Abraham, God says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Artificial dads instead of real marriages and with real husbands and real dads is what the modern day home is full of. They're not there. They don't have this system where a real dad and a real mom says, now, this is what we can do and this is what we're not going to do. And not change their mind. Sometimes kids can push their parents into changing their mind. No, if it's right, it's right. You stand upon what's right. If you say no, mean no. Stand for no. All right? Modern homes demand governments to take care of them. They're so used to somebody else doing for them what they should be doing for themselves. And they're taught that in the public schools, all their benefits and all their rights that they have as people. And they're taught that in the neighborhoods where people are standing in government lines and and waiting for government help instead of doing what they can do for themselves. Now, I'm not against anybody needing help and that government help, and I think that's great. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I do have a problem with people soaking the system. I do have an issue with Christians in particular that ought to know some work ethics and realize the harder we work, the more God blesses. Did you know that? It's like the bird. He doesn't look to heaven and say, Lord, you going to throw the worm in my nest? No, the harder the worm scratches and the more the bird scratches, the more worms it gets. And that's the way it is when we teach our kids. The harder they work, the more blessings they will have. And of course, that's not a part of the modern day influence today. The modern day home demands government to take care of them. When my Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so instead of looking to government, we ought to look to God and say, God, help us. God, help us. Help me to help myself. We do the very best we can and God will do the rest. You know, some people are just sitting down waiting for God to do it all. No, 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 no. God expects us to get behind a hoe and do the hoeing if that's our way of living. Whatever it is, God expects us to do our part, and God will do his part and bless in tremendous ways. Modern homes don't use corporal punishment. Modern homes do not do that. They are taught by modern psychology. Modern psychology says, instead of correcting the child, distract the child. Get their attention. I mean, if you say, no, don't go there, and they're going there, well, then instead of correcting them, you distract them. That's dangerous, folks. That's teaching the child he doesn't have to obey. I think that if a parent says no, that they ought to mean it. And they ought to take action, corrective actions. I believe a child ought to be corrected. I don't think there ought to be an overkill. I don't think you ought to use a nuclear bomb to kill a fly. I think you ought to use a fly swatter to kill a fly. Okay? I'm not talking about child abuse, and I'm not talking about unrestrained parents just hitting a child anywhere they want to hit them. I'm not talking about that at all now. Don't get me wrong. When I was a kid, my mother used to slap me on the face, and I don't think that's a form of discipline, to be honest with you. That was always an insult to me. That never made me say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I'll tell you what it did do. It made me step up there and say, do it again. That feels good. Now, I know that's pretty bad, but that's what it did for me. And I just let my mother pound on my face. I mean, just whatever she wanted to do, she could do it. It never corrected me. And that's not an intended place to correct a child anyway. But let me say this, that I think that children need to be corrected. You know, when I was a child, ADD meant to add numbers to something. That's what it meant, okay? Today, I think it means attention deficit disorder. I had ADD. It's called attitude, defiance, and disobedience. But the Bible rod cured me as it cured my three children of this ADD. Okay? Today, they don't want you to use corporal punishment in an appropriate way. Doctors will prescribe medicines. I think that's horrible. You say, well, you don't understand my child. You're right, I don't. I don't know. I'm not saying that it's unnecessary for everything. I don't know. All I can say is there seems to be a heap of that problem today where there didn't used to be a heap of that problem. And I think the thing is it's far easier to say, well, have them take this pill that will slow them down and do all that rather than just go ahead and take care of business as a parent. And I think constant taking care of business as a parent will constantly help that child to understand they're not going to get away with crossing boundaries that they shouldn't cross, saying things that they shouldn't say, doing things that they shouldn't do. You see? There's got to be a consistency with being a parent. And being a parent is not an easy job, but it is the right job. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Folks, God said, if you don't take care of corporal punishment with your children, you don't love them. And I have seen kids grow up they cross lines with their parents. They think they can cross lines at school. They think they can cross lines with the police officers. And prisons are full of inmates with kids that have never been controlled. And so somewhere, someday, they're going to meet somebody that's going to say, you're not going to go any further than this. And when they try, they're going to reap the consequences. Tell me that's a loving parent that'll let a child grow up that way. Not on your life, it's not a loving parent. A loving parent will say, will draw some boundaries and say, you're not going to cross it. And if they cross it a little bit or a lot, it doesn't matter. They're still in a heap of trouble. That's what parents need to do, you see, in order to get the kind of results that you want. Modern homes invented latchkey kids. You've heard that term? That's when a child comes home to an empty house. No cookie-baking mother around. Just TV and unholy influences. Wow. Letting your child see what they want to see on television and get on the internet and just clicks away from the most horrendous, horrible stuff imaginable. And accountability, any of that, in a child. And then when the parent comes home, you wonder why your child has an attitude and do things they never taught in the home. It's because of the influences that you've allowed them to see and be a part of. And as a result, they're going to, what they monkey see, monkey do. And so as they bring it in, eventually it's going to come out. And that's one of the problems there. I think home ought to smell like cookies. And I don't think it ought to come from wax either. You know, my wife will light a cookie-smelling wax, and I'm thinking, yuck, that smells like cookies. And she wants the home to smell good. The best way of making home smell good is put some real cookies in the oven. I think grandmamas ought to be cookie-baking grandmas. I think it ought to be a joy to go to the grandparents' house. I think it ought to be like a playground. You're looking at a yes-you-can pawpaw, but I was a no-you-can't daddy. I mean, there is a difference. And I believe that home ought to be more of a playground and less of a battlefield. And when they come home, it ought to be enjoyable. And there ought to be some smells and some things that they'll remember for the rest of their life. Think about it. What do you remember when you went home as a child? You know what comes to your mind? Things are going to come to your children's mind when they grow up and they're on their own. What kind of memories do you want them to have of home? Create that environment, ladies and gentlemen. Create that environment. Modern home invented the latchkey kids. Modern homes blames everybody else for their own problems. Blames everybody else. It's the teacher's fault. It's the policeman's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's somebody's fault. It's amazing to me how that wise parents will listen to a child's perspective on thing when a child's perspective on thing is immature. It's they don't see it from a mature set of eyes and hear it from a mature set of ears. They only experience what they've experienced from their maturity level. And it amazes me how many parents will say, is that right? And the teacher meant that? Is that right? And then go marching off to the teacher and accusing the teacher of all these things. I have a teacher in our church, and this is what they say to the parent. They say, listen, if you won't believe what your child says about me to you, I won't believe what the child says about you to me. We got to stop and think that the children will say things from their perspective. They don't know what's going on. They just know what they know at their age level. And adults ought to understand that with their children. Modern homes blame everybody else for their own problem. It's society's fault. You know, the only thing that I think I can blame a school teacher for is my grammar. If she would have done a better job, I could be a better speaker. But it's her fault. It's not my fault. It's her fault. So that's the only thing I can blame a school teacher for. All right, modern homes, brides will keep their own name. You ever notice that? This is Tammy Marsh, and my name is Tim Stowe. We've been married for almost 36 years now. Tammy Marsh and Tim Stowe. No, when we came down aisle together and her daddy put her arm in my arm and she said, I do, and I said, I do, we've been doing it ever since. I mean, we're together. What does God say in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2? Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. It has a biblical foundation for a woman to take on a man's name. But this modern homes, everybody keeps their own names. Modern homes are filled with hate and insults. You know, sometimes it's not bringing the best out of each other. It's bringing the worst out of each other, picking at each other until the other person gets angry. You know, I can be guilty of that. And after 35 years of marriage, my wife is starting to realize that I'm very capable of that. But at the same time, I'm learning how to say, you know, I'm really teasing. Or I try to make it where it's so obvious. You know, I put this real big grin on my face. What are you grinning at? Well, that's a big joke is what it was. Everybody knows. You know, I would say something like, we live in a dirty house. If you know my wife, that's anything but dirty. She'll take clean drawers and straighten up clean drawers. She'll take a clean house and re-clean a clean house. Just things like that. And sometimes she can get aggravated with me on just teasing with her on something like that. And I say, honey, anybody that knows you knows better than that. To me, that is so obviously crazy that it's funny. But for some people, it's not. But the longer we're together, the more we realize that. But in some homes, it's a constant pick at each other until you get to the place where you're nearly hating each other. And home is a battlefield rather than a playground. A horrible place to be instead of a good place to be. You see, modern homes are filled with hate and insult. Modern homes are broken and needing fixing. I was talking to a dear couple this morning, something about problems in the home. I said, well, having a problem in the home isn't a problem. It's how you handle the problem that's the problem. Did you know that God has problems? Did you know that you're looking at one of God's problems? I'm not always doing what God tells me to do. I don't always have the right attitude that God wants me to have. I'm not always the type of person that God wants me to be. God has problems with me. But the Bible says that man is born under troubles. I mean, we're gonna have problems. We're going to have issues in life. We're going to have that. But it's not having a problem that is the problem. It's how we handle the problem that becomes the problem. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn how to handle the problems as Jesus would handle the problem, or as the great problem solver would handle the problem. When we take our problems to God, He takes care of the problem. He's a problem solver. And that's the way it ought to be in our homes. Our homes are broken and needed fixing. Modern homes are sad. Sad because of his, hers, and our kids type of environment. And folks, one of the things that I do not think anybody ever ought to joke about is divorce. It's not a funny thing. It hurts. It scars. It mars. It hurts. It's not something to be joked about. Why, woman, if you don't change your way in something, I think I'll just get a divorce. That's not even funny. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there we be. And even with the grace of God, good people have parted and it's hurt and it deeply hurts. And it's something you just can't take an aspirin and get over. It's something that will last a lifetime. And so what I'm trying to say is some of these homes are sad simply because that's the way it is. They were taught on television, if it doesn't work out, just divorce this one, get another one. The influences that the modern day home has. And today there's more divorces than there are marriages. And then what's even worse than that is people living together, refusing to commit. Why? Well, they just don't want to go through what their parents went through. Modern homes are sad, and there's numerous reasons they're sad. What about that traditional home influenced by Judeo-Christian values? Traditional homes influenced by Judeo-Christian values or by the Word of God have dads as loving leaders, not dirty dictators. Not someone that stands up with a rod and says, you're going to do this or I'm going to whip the daylights out of you. No, that's not the kind of dad that the Bible is encouraging us to be. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 22, 23, 24, 25, verse 28, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I believe that dads and husbands ought to be loving leaders. Husband. What the word husband means? You break it down in two words, husband. Hus comes from the word home or house. Band is a binder. So a husband is a home binder. That's our God-given responsibility. Now, we don't do it through legislation. We do it by loving, kind leadership. You know, it'd be far easier for a wife to want to submit herself and to subject herself unto a loving, kind leader. Far better than for a dirty, rotten, low-down dictator. Traditional homes, mom is submissive to their husband. Submission. You know, there's two words used to describe a woman, either subjection or submission. The word submission is a compliance from a willing heart. The word subjection comes from a military term. You will do this, and that you will comply by command. God tells the woman by command and from the heart to submit themselves to their husbands. You see, you can't have two equal heads in the home or any corporation or things won't get done. You know as well as I do, a man and a woman think differently. You know, a man, he thinks of buying a brand new $15,000 boat. And so he gets to feeling bad, so he goes and buys his wife a $15 broom. And thinks that she's going to be happy with that. Men and women think differently. And we'll be talking more about that throughout the week. But men and women think differently. And so it would be easier for a woman to be submissive under the authority of her husband if she knows he loves her. You know, that's what I've tried to tell people through the years being pastor. A lot of people say, wow, you've been a pastor in the same church for 26 years when the average pastor won't even last 5 years? And you've been there for 26 years? How does that happen? You must not be able to just speak your heart and say everything. Oh, yeah, I can preach the whole counsel of God in my church. I can say things. I can talk politics in my church. I can do all that kind of stuff. You know, it doesn't mean that everybody agrees with everything that I say, but one thing they all agree is they know that their pastor loves them. They also know that their pastor wouldn't do or say anything to hurt or harm them. He's there to help them. And when they have the understanding of what their pastor is and the love that they can feel from their pastor, it's easier for them to listen and may disagree, but listen and not be cantankerous over it all. The same thing with wifey. I mean, she knows that he loves her, and she knows that he's got her best at heart. When he makes a decision, he says, this is what I believe is the right thing to do. She's not thinking, well, you're just doing that because you're being stubborn. You're just doing that to hurt me. You're just doing that. No, she's not thinking that way at all. She's saying to herself, I know he loves me. I feel his love. I see his love. I know he loves me. I may not agree with it, but I will submit and subject myself to his leadership. Traditional homes influenced by Judeo-Christian principles will go just that way. In traditional homes, children are reared with love and discipline. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the command is given to the fathers not to provoke your children to wrath. I think a lot of men provoke their children to wrath by not taking care of family business and taking care of home business. They're out playing golf with their buddies, and their kids are left to grow up by themselves. You know, it's a shame. The wife is taking care of the kids all day long. The husband gets home, and he doesn't have time to take care of the kids or help on anything. He wants to go out and play golf with the buddies. There's just something not quite right about that. The Bible says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoking your children to wrath. I think when a child grows up hating his father because his father has no involvement in his life, that's provoking him to wrath. I believe that when a father doesn't teach his son fatherly things and manly things, I believe that's provoking that child to wrath, because eventually that child is going to do something to get himself in trouble, and he's going to hate the world because he thinks the world hates him, because he never had the loving attention of a father. Folks, what I'm trying to say is, in the traditional home, fathers play an important role in their kids' lives. My wife is an only child. Well, still is an only child. But her daddy used to sit on the floor and play dolls with her. He taught her how to mow the yard, too, but he sat on the floor and played dolls with this little girl. I think daddies ought to be involved with their little girls and their sons and be a part of their lives. If not, I believe that the child is going to grow up provoked to anger, because they're going to see somebody else that has a loving, caring set of parents, and they didn't have that. And they're going to be mad at everybody. and it provokes a child to wrath. And then the Bible says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. The nurture is a corporal discipline. You nurture, you take care of business. Admonition is you warn them with words. You talk to the child. You tell them what they've done wrong. You know, God has never disciplined me without telling me what I've done wrong. I mean, I just don't wake up one day saying, Lord, I know I'm being disciplined, but I don't know why. No, I'm looking to heaven and say, Lord, why are things so difficult? Why? And then in the confines of that prayerful moment, God is speaking to my heart about some things. I'm going some wrong directions. He's trying to get my attention. I mean, if God will do that for His, don't you think that's a good example for us to do that to ours? Tell a child why? What I have seen in the ministry in 31 years of pastoring, what I have seen is this. I have seen parents get mad at their children, take care of business, and then the child instantly has that remorse and just instantly needs that security of knowing that mom and dad still love that child, even though that child crossed the line and was properly disciplined for it. And for parents to say, you just sit there for 2 hours while I think about it. How long does it take for you when you cross the line that you shouldn't have crossed with God and you say, God, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? How long does it take God to forgive us? Is it momentarily or is it 2 hours later? Well, God's the example of how to take care of children. And if that's what He would do for us, that's what we need to do for ours. Instantly love on them. Instantly show them that they have been forgiven. But remind them if they cross that line again, the consequences are the same. They're going to be in big, bad, hairy trouble. Amen. Traditional homes had parents involved in family matters. Spending quality time and quantity time with his family ought to be a high priority for moms and dads. That ought to be more important than just about anything. I mean, spending time with your family, I mean, taking them places and doing things and going to church as a family and sitting together as a family and doing things together as a family, that ought to be high priority in family issues. In traditional homes, children do not wear costumes. They wear clothing. Have you seen the wear that some of our kids, some of the kids out there are wearing? I mean, they got 47 earrings all over their body. Earrings used to be for the ears, but now it's just wherever. And these beautiful girls have hurt and harmed their hair by what they've done to their hair. And guys are wearing earrings and girls are wearing tattoos and ruining their bodies, marring and scarring. And then the outfits that they wear, you would never accuse them of being real clothes. That's costumes. Folks, we need to think about those things. Because, see, your children reflect you. I reflect my wife. When she's not with me and I put things together, ties and stuff together, it's not always the right color and the right combination. I have literally taken picture of things and sent it back to her and get her approval on it. You know why? Because they don't say that poor old colorblind preacher, he don't know any better. They think, what's wrong with his wife? Why didn't she see that? Why didn't she catch that? Two or three times before I got in here, she said, be sure this thing don't flip up. Don't know why it's flipping up. I don't either. I don't even see it, so it doesn't make me any difference. But she's looking to see if this thing's going to flip up. Why? Because it reflects her. See? And when children are doing what they're doing, it reflects their parents. Do you have involvement in your children? Are you there for them? I'm talking about a traditional home influenced by the Word of God. Traditional homes play an important part in lives. A kid grows up and he says, you know, the best thing about my life is, well, we used to sit around the table after supper and just, we play games. We had a time. Do you know what Daddy did? I always say in our home, somebody's got to be the nut. I volunteer. You know, we got some things that we're planning for our grandkids. I volunteer to be the nut in the home. Okay? But you're trying to make memories of a lifetime for your children. You're sitting around the table. The wife has made a wonderful meal. It didn't all come from the grocery store, pre-packaged and pre-made and just stick it in the microwave. No. She actually made something. And children remember that. And by the way, all of a sudden it becomes delicious food to them. How many of y'all like beans? Why do you like beans? I hate beans. The only way I like beans is when they're done right, refried. I can eat my weight in refried. But if I have to chew them up to make them refried, no. I don't care for that kind of beans. But Brother Manley was saying that he grew up on this, and he just loves it today. I bet he didn't when he was growing up. But what happens? We acquire a taste. We have some memories. The bad old days weren't so bad when you get grown up. You look back and they become the good old days. Now you're making that for your family. You're making memories. Saying no to them is not going to hurt them. Saying no to them is going to help them. And I'm simply saying that that's a part of life, and that's what good homes are supposed to do. Well, I see that my time's up, but I want to thank you for your attention. And as I get a little more comfortable behind the pulpit, I'm just a little bit nervous right now. My wife can sure tell. But you folks make me nervous. And when I get a little less nervous, we'll loosen up a little better, I think. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. Thank you for the message this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that it would hit the hearts of these dear people. And Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to realize how much of a priority our home ought to be. And help us, Lord, to raise our children to honor thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's people said.